Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Listening to John and Raheel with Dell on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John and Raheel with Dell.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You know what that music means? It means that Chase is listening. I know that. Maybe Wayne? We got Wayne listening? Those are big. And oh, by the way, they brought him the chopped beef sandwiches, and so all was good. Saw Dana's reaction. He's with us. We got Dana with us here on ESPN 97.5 talking about West Virginia head coach joining us right here. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. What's going on, Dana?
Oh, nothing much. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing great. We're doing great. I'm looking at a video here. One of your players is getting engaged or something. What's going on there?
There's still some romance in the world, I guess. You know, Reese is a West Virginia kid. He met this young lady from Texas. I think she might be Houston. I'm not sure. I know she's Texas.
Nice.
She came up here to go to school, and he arranged this whole thing. He came in about a month ago. He said, I want to do this for Kansas. I go, well, why Kansas? He goes, it just works out. That's when her parents can come up. I said, okay, that's cool, but you can call it off if we don't win. We're not going to have any kind of a marriage proposal after a loss. So he said, I'll make sure the team wins. I was like, well, any bit of extra motivation it takes to win a Big 12 game, I'm all about it. So once we won and sang Country Roads, then one of his best friends, Zeke Rose, one of our D linemen, kind of directed the players to midfield, and he was there with his girlfriend and her parents, and she didn't even know they were coming in. That was pretty cool. So it all worked out, you know, and then we came into the locker room, and I had him lead us in Hail West Virginia, and we wrapped up another Big 12 win.
Neat. What if she'd have said no? That would have been totally sweet.
Well, that's why all the players were surrounding him. There's no way she was getting out of there alive.
Yeah. That's a yeah.
That would have been the ultimate. Oh my God! How bad you feel
all
for
this,
that? Dude.
We flew the parents in. We got the win.
Yeah,
she came up here to break up with you this weekend.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no way she says no. So I mean, he's a big old ugly football player, and she's cute. So. He had to kind of trick her into saying yes. There's no way that was going to end up her saying no. So he ended up doing what he had to get the yes.
Yeah, that was my biggest fear is when I proposed to my wife, I did in a very private place.
Yeah,
because
in case.
She said no, then it's like, well, I'm just leaving.
Yeah, bye.
You walk home.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
No, right.
He did it where everybody that would have been horrific. And you guys just got out of there. You said after the game, it was an ugly win, but you'll take it. Go home.
Yeah, I mean, that happens, you know, as well as I do. You're not going to play your best all the time. I thought we played really good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
We were at, you know, every statistic was a winning performance no matter who you play. You know, and offensively, we moved the ball good. We had the ball 12 times, scored on 6 of them, got into the red zone 3 more times, and just we didn't do a very good job of running the football in the red zone, which, you know, puts you in passing situations down there, which we got full confidence in Will Greer, obviously. But there was some tight windows, and, you know, we didn't – he made a few mistakes, which is uncharacteristic of him. I mean, he ends the day at 27 of 40 for 340 and 4 touchdowns. It's just the three hiccups in the red zone. You know, and if you score 9 points in those situations right there, then the game's a whole different game. So that's something that we can learn from, but by no means do I think anything's broke.
Yeah, and with Will, that first interception when he was throwing to Sills, you know, the defender just made a really good play. And then I believe he ran the same route in the fourth quarter, and he gets that. Was that something you guys wanted to work on and clear up in that game?
Yeah, you're 100% right. And, you know, it just Will made a mistake and the receiver made a mistake. You know, everybody points the finger at the quarterback when interceptions are thrown, and at times that's 100% accurate. But, you know, there's a protection problem in one of those situations which forced the awkward throw. And then receivers, on two of the other ones, receivers got to do a better job of fighting for the ball or making sure that nobody catches it. I mean, they got to turn into defenders at times too. So some really good learning things that we can teach off of. And you know, it didn't go our way on a couple of those different series, but 38-22 could have been a lot worse than that. Everybody understands that, but we'll take the win and move on.
I know you're busy. The Texans this week had all kinds of problems in the red zone, and you and Bill O'Brien addressed that yesterday, and you just addressed in the red zone. He said, "Hey, listen, unless you're in the business, you don't get how difficult it is in the red zone." Talk about running the football, Dana, and how different it is, how much tougher it is. And especially with the Texans, in the Texans' case, they don't have a dominant offensive line that can just bully people. So how do you run the ball when that defensive line is maybe, you know, just as good as your offensive line is?
Or better, and there may be more of them out there at that time, too. I mean, we chart, you know, I chart red zone touchdowns, and everybody charts red zone percentages, and we've done a really good job of scoring touchdowns. And I mean, 17 of our 23 times in the red zone, I believe, have been touchdowns. So, you know, and then the ones that we didn't, you know, we've kicked a couple of field goals. It only takes a few field goals to make the difference in a win or a loss. But the field just gets condensed, and, you know, they put more people in the box. They don't have to have deep safeties when there's no space back there. So, everything gets condensed. There's more people stopping the run. It becomes one-on-one matchups in the pass game, which is why corners get paid a whole lot of money in the NFL. And when you got a guy like Will and David, I mean, David Sills has caught more red zone touchdown passes than anybody I've ever had. Just didn't do a great job of it this week, you know, and I don't think you just forget how to do things right and over the course of 1 week. We just got to get back and go out and practice it a little bit more and focus more on it moving forward.
You know, and a lot of his problems came on slants. People fall so in love with the fade route in the red zone. Where are you? It just seems like it's unsuccessful so often.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think about the fade as opposed to, you know, maybe some slants or whatever in the red zone?
Yeah, it's because there's so little space down there, it's a hard pass to complete. I remember going to, and we've done it for years at Tech. I mean, we threw the ball all the time, and you know, had guys that could execute the fade route. And then when you set up the fade route and they take that away, then you run slant routes. Michael Crabtree was the best slant runner I've ever been a part of because he was so strong. He could muscle you and body you and get your hands out there and snatch it out of the air. I went to Oklahoma State. We threw a fade to Blackman in game one, and Gundy went nuts. He's like, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, why? We just scored, you know. And so we had that discussion how low percentage that pass is, which I agree, unless you have the connection like Whedon and Blackman had. And then it's a high percentage pass. We're fortunate here now. The percentage of the fade route with Will Greer and David Sills is about 90%. So we're going to continue to do it. And the only way you take it away is just play outside leverage, which opens up the slant route, which we've been able to complete that as well. So we've been successful with it. I'm not worried about it. We got to do a better job of executing. And it starts with running the ball. because those interceptions that we threw were because it wasn't one-on-one matchup. We got to do a better job of getting all those bodies in the ball if we got to throw them.
Yeah, the run game was also, you know, as you mentioned, in the red zone you can improve, but overall the run game was pretty good. Is it just a matter of who's hot that day within with those three running backs, or is there a plan you go in a certain game that this guy's going to be a better use here? How do you balance that with three studs?
Well, we get our starter back in Alex Sunkfield. That's going to help. You know, he's been out since game one. You know, so we're excited about getting him back. He brings juice. He's got more speed than any of them. But you're right. It's about who has the hot hand, who stays healthy, you know, how they're pass protecting, I think, you know, and then who's a little bit better in the open field, who's better in the pass game, who's a little better on the goal line. We're going to need all of them. And you know, that position, bodies go down. And when bodies go down, you need fresh guys to go in there and play. And we got a good rotation going on right now.
So, as with Chad, so I got to watch a lot of the Iowa State game against Oklahoma State. They played a pretty good game. They struggled some, but that looks like a team that's coming to get Purdy. Looks pretty good right now.
Yeah, I missed the call from Chad last night at like 2. I'm sure he wanted to talk about Oklahoma State, Iowa State.
I'm sure.
Well, I studied it all game, all day yesterday. It was an exciting game, back and forth. I watched the second half at my house after our game, but studied it all yesterday. And Iowa State played well. That freshman quarterback came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, Purdy or something like that. But he was true freshman out of Arizona. He played lights out. He was accurate as accurate can be. You know, he ran all over the place. They had quarterback run game. And Iowa State doesn't have a whole lot of quarterback run game. They're not going to run Kyle Kemp around, you know. And then they put this guy in, and they got all kinds of designed quarterback run games. So it makes it hard for us. I know that. We got to prepare for him, not only pass game-wise, but quarterback run game-wise. I hear Kemp's coming back. Which is a different type quarterback, old veteran, sixth-year guy, doesn't run very good, but is an accurate passer. We got to prepare for both of them, but I'm glad it didn't sneak up on us like it did Oklahoma State.
Chad Clay, regional scout, I like it. He's hey, I watch this game.
Hey, Dana.
Hey.
Yeah, watch out. They can throw it.
Yeah, that's right.
He's filing his scouting reports at 2
Thanks,
in the morning.
Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
All right, well, we'll let you go. We appreciate it. That's going to be a good game. It's never easy going there. You know that as well as anybody.
I grew up there, so I have a bunch of family members there around there. But Saturday night in Ames is not the easiest place to play. But it's Big 12 football, and we're looking forward to it. Excited about the Astros, too. Couldn't get any work done yesterday because I was watching that. They took care of business, huh?
Yeah, that was fun. We went to Cleveland, saw Zoe, went there, went to the game. Yep, it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Moving on. All right, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Damaris Barbecue on 18th Street and 610. They got the bar there. You can watch all. And by the way, that's where the West Virginia people go and watch their games on Saturdays, if you're looking. It's also Texas A&M bar, because the Damarises all went to Texas A&M. So they love their Aggies there. You can watch your Longhorns. You can watch all your games. And your Sunday, they got the Sunday ticket as well. So they got everything right there at Damaris Barbecue, 18th Street. And, of course, the one on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. So if you're looking for a place to go get your game on and your barbecue on, get to Damaris Barbecue. 10:13 ESPN 97.5. We want to talk a little rugby.
Yeah, we got a big combine coming up, so we'll bring in my buddy Sam.
Find out how you can get on the team.
My buddy Sam Windsor's going to be here, and we'll talk to him.
I should have worn my jersey.
No,
I got my jersey.
Busy loving up the Cleveland Browns to support.
He's Browns. One of the Browns now.
Yeah. You know what Sam is saying? I think he could play. I think he...
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
As he did challenge Manny. Did you see that?
To a Hold throwing on real quick. Contest.
Yeah. Manny? You became Twitter throwing contest guy.
Stop. Manny. Did you see Manny? Hey, John, you're not a nice throw. Did you see the kid out of the stands throwing the ball?
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But he put that on me? On me?
I guess you look like
that. On me?
And you challenged him.
Stop, Manny.
Okay? From what I've been told... Manny was a really good baseball player. That's what I've been told by Manny.
By Manny?
Well, who else would have told me? Who else would have told me?
This is Manny's interpretation of Manny?
Who else would have told me?
Okay. All right. Let's bring Sam in next right here. Don't go anywhere.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. You're listening to John and Raheel with Dell on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John and Raheel with Dell.
All right, welcome back. 1020 ESPN 97.5. Sam joining us here. Sam Windsor, player coach of your Sabercats, Houston Sabercats rugby. And that was that's kind of amazing to me. You got the combine coming up on Saturday. 10 guys?
10 guys last year made the squad, and then three of them were regular members of the match day squad. So realistic opportunities and real opportunities. So we're encouraging everyone and anyone to get out.
Yeah, use that one.
You know, if you haven't played rugby before, that's not the end of the world. We're open to all athletes, all disciplines, football, basketball, running. You know, if you never played sport but you want to get active, you haven't, don't know what rugby's about, you know, we're encouraging everyone to come out and meet some players, be put through the tests. We've got some speed testing, some jumps, and then we're going to play some rugby and test boys' skills out.
Yeah, it's really cool. Last year, you guys did the combine. There were two of them, right?
Yep.
And as John mentioned, 10 players found, 2 played a lot. But also during that process, you figured out and you got to highlight some of the younger guys that would eventually, you know, can come back again. So if you've never played or if you've kind of thought about it, this is a great time to come in and just get put through the ringer.
Yep.
Figure out like what you need to work on, and maybe next year it works out. But it's a really cool thing. You can do it. You can register right now at HoustonSabercats.com/academy, and there's a bunch of information up there. What do you recommend to people? Like, you know, what should they kind of work on if they haven't already started, or is it a little too late? What should they be working on?
It's never too late. Our season doesn't start until end of January, the league season, and then the club rugby around town doesn't start until early December as well. So, you know, if people have enjoyed their summer, you know, they've been to the beach or they haven't really got off the couch, you know, get in the gym, get running, start moving on your mobility, your flexibility, pick up a ball, start passing it, and then just look to have fun. I think with rugby, you know, as we always say, it's a game for all shapes and sizes. You know, if you feel you're big or you're overweight, it's not the end of the world. You'll have a coach who'll whip you into shape or find a position that'll suit your size. But yeah, because it's a multi-discipline kind of game in terms of both sides of the ball, catch, pass, run, tackle, mm-hmm. kick. You know, everyone's going to have a certain aspect to their skill repertoire that will suit rugby. And you know, the amount of rugby clubs around the city is open to all disciplines and all abilities.
But we're looking for big, strong, and fast. Am I right?
Yeah, not what we see here in the studio. So
no,
anything other than that.
Nope.
Damn, Sam.
No.
Sam Windsor.
I think there was a shot.
Haymakers.
I think he just took a shot.
The only one
I think it was at you, Del.
He keeps asking me if he's going to come
pretty
out.
Pretty sure it was at you.
No, he took shots at both of y'all. I'm not even in there.
No, but obviously,
yeah.
More than that.
Yeah.
You're looking for linebackers now. But you just said offense. You know, you're probably going to – how many football transplants to come out there, right?
Yeah. We'd love to have as many as possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's someone who's, you know, 6'8", 6'10", you know, 250, ex-basketball player, in terms of having that kind of height in a lineout when the ball goes out of bounds and we need to get it back in, it's pretty hard to out-jump someone who's being lifted, who's already 6'10", and they get up to about, you know, almost 10 foot tall or something. So, yeah, big guys, strong guys are always welcome, but then the small, fast, you know, nifty guys are just as useful for us because we need someone to get the ball to me as often as possible and as fast as possible. Otherwise, I get cranky.
The little scat backs.
So you get running backs and you need linebackers, running backs, and you need the basketball centers.
Yes. All shapes, man.
Yeah. All shapes.
Literally. And then you need big dudes for the scrum.
The scrum, yeah, the big pillars, if you like. So they're the guys who are, you know, a couple axe handles wide, you know, over the 300 mark. They don't have to do much. They just got to be push and act tough in case the little guys get in trouble.
Yeah. That's it. And act as enforcers out there?
Because
the little guys like him, like Raheel, they get mouthy. They get lippy, don't they?
Yeah, we got little man syndrome. Why? We want to talk a little bit.
And then
we got our big dudes protecting us.
It's always from behind. It's you know what?
Yeah.
Hey, catch me. Catch me. That's it. You can't because you're fat.
But that's a big number. Usually a combine or a tryout, you know, you might find a guy.
Yep.
To have 10 guys, that's a big number.
I won't say we were surprised because we had over 100 people come out and try out last year. So to get 10% of that 100, and you know, there could have been 15 to 20, and those boys weren't quite at the level. So as Rahil touched on, you know, we've invited people to come back and encourage people to come back to try again. They've had 12 months to work on their skill, develop their game, and then come and see if they're up to the standard. And the fact that we were on TV a lot last year and ESPN Plus and online gave boys a chance to see where they need to be, what level they need to be at skill-wise to see if, you know, they're comfortable competing at a professional level.
Yeah. How difficult, if I don't know, you know, I played football all my life, I don't know the game of rugby, how difficult is it to get it? To you won't get a lot of the nuances, but, you know, how long will it take them to really get it?
You know, if someone's never played, you know, I think, you know, with the coaching team that we've assembled this year and the players that we have, you know, if someone got thrown in, you know, first day of school, you're going to master rugby in 12 months. You know, I'm comfortable that they could be, you know, they'd be knocking on the door for a starting spot by the end of the season. You know, wow. if they're committed and, you know, they've got the discipline and the motivation to train and to work hard, then, you know, there's, you know, endless possibilities.
HoustonSabercats.com/Academy. Sam Windsor with us. The open tryouts are this Saturday at the Killian Center.
Yep.
Quillian Center
down in West Chase. It's a cool little community center down there. We've done some summer camps there, and we're going to look to do some more summer camps next year. You know, they have hundreds of kids come out for weeks on end in the summer, so we're going to try and introduce rugby to those guys. And they've been kind enough to open up the fields to us and let us host the combine.
Nice. 1 to 4 p.m. Make sure you guys go to HoustonSabercats.com/academy. Register. If you forget to register, you can walk up. But they encourage that you register so they have a good head count already in place. That's the open combine, or excuse me, the rugby combine, which is open this Saturday. Also, the new stadium.
Yeah.
For the Sabercats, season one just wrapped up. Season two is going to be starting up. The stadium, Aviva, what's the latest?
Aviva Stadium is our pride and joy. So one of the main reasons I moved down here was to be a part of a new team, but also to play in a brand new rugby facility that'll be, you know, top of the class in the country. They're on schedule. We, you know, we've had a wet couple months here during this this hurricane season. So they're still on track. We built in a few weeks at the end of the program just in case. So we're looking to have our first home game, home opener, towards the end of February, and that'll be a league game. And hopefully some pre-season scrimmages on the practice fields. So there's two practice fields and then, you know, the 4,000-seat stadium, which will be
fun.
288 South, just north of the Beltway. So 10 minutes north of Pearland as part of the Houston Sports Park.
Adjacent
to the Dynamo training
facility. Yeah, Dynamo there. That's cool, man. So stadium is going great. Season's going to be starting up pretty soon. You guys can get all the information again, HoustonSabercats.com, and the /academy is the link.
Academy, yeah.
But definitely go to Houston Sabercats if you're interested in rugby, and just get, you know, sign up for updates and follow them on social media, and you can get all the news, all that good stuff. It was a blast last season, man. Yeah. I know the results weren't what we wanted, but it was fun to see the community rally around the team, and man, there were some good audiences there.
Yeah, we can't thank the crowds enough. You know, we were blown away with the 4,500, 5,000 we had at our first game back last January. So we're looking to repeat that with our home stadium this year and have 4,500 people.
Yeah, you should pack that place.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be good fun. It's a family atmosphere. There's going to be games for kids, you know, all ages. Night games, hopefully, so we get some entertainment happening. There'll be a bar on site and concessions. So for the people that enjoy a nice beer with the game.
It's huge. Last year they didn't have a bar on site.
What?
Yeah, because it was at a high school stadium.
How are you going to go?
Yeah.
Huh?
I think half the crowd just stayed at Carbock and drunk from there.
They did. Yeah.
So that's why the crowds were smaller. So having a bar, keep those guys entertained.
Having Coors Light will help.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll get me out there.
Okay. Preach on, brother.
Right. Preach on, brother.
Even now, you got a crowbar, Coors Light into them.
And here's the thing.
If you're going to have a bar, and why would you not? Okay. Well, if you're not going to have Coors Light, why would you even have a bar?
The other thing is, when you go to Sabercats game, you got to wear your Indochino suit. So make sure
you don't.
Are we just going to get all the.
Should we get some custom suits?
And on the way, pick up your saltgrass stuff so you can have something to eat as well.
Yeah. And then when you go home, your champion energy, lights are going
to
turn on.
And then afterwards, go to 4hymns.com.
No.
To celebrate a Sabercats win with a significant other.
Yes. Yeah. So then you can do stuff.
And Sam, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for stopping by. Good luck. You're going to Australia. You're going home for a bit.
Yeah, so I haven't had much of a break in the off season. So my wife and I are going home for our wedding. So we haven't been home for a couple of years. She's got a bunch of family coming out, and then
why did you do wedding in quotation?
We got married last March.
Oh,
it was her and I and no one else, so we didn't have any friends or family there up in Seattle.
So you're going to redo?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
so that's nice.
It's going to be good fun. So it's going to be a big party.
Everybody thinks this is Lance doing an imitation of an Australian, but this is really Sam.
This is my buddy Sam.
It's Sam.
Is he that good? Is he Aussie accent?
Yeah,
that good?
He thinks he's good. Yeah, tell him to come do it now in front of somebody that has this accent.
What? Grab. Let's see.
Yeah. Come on, Lance.
Hey, let's see if Lance can do it. I don't even know if he's here. Yeah. He's probably playing poker by
He's
now.
Doing something. Dude, one of the cool things, so Sam moved down here last year to the city of Houston, and you really dove headfirst into the local sports scene. It's not just rugby. You started these, like he is all in on the Astros, the Rockets,
which I made a mistake here, because I haven't done my planning right, because I leave next Tuesday, and I guess that's right in the middle of the playoffs, and then I'm going to miss.
The Texans? You're going to miss Texans and the Astros playoffs?
He's not missing the Texans.
Well, yeah nobody's missing
and the
Texans.
The Patriots don't come to town this year, so I'm not missing out. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you're a Tom Brady guy.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
He's international. He has to be.
He has to be. Sam Windsor. It's 1-4 Quillian Center. 1-4 the Combine this Saturday. Go to HoustonSabercats.com/ What? Academy? /Academy.
Yeah.
HoustonSabercats.com/Academy. Go get a bunch of guys out there and find some players.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it. Sam Windsor right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere. Not Trina, but I swear to God, it's good to make you call your girl up and tell her, hey, what's good? Sorry, I'm
never... ESPN 97.5.
This is gonna feel real good, all right? Most dope.
You're listening to John and Raheel with Dell on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John and Raheel with Dell.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Good guy. That's your guy.
That's my man, Sam. I also did a podcast with him a couple of weeks back. Spent an hour. We had a great chat, man. He's fun. He's a cool dude. And, he's just trying to live the dream. Play rugby professionally here. Launch a new team. Awesome guy.
Gets to go back now with his wife, though, and see everybody back home. And
Australia.
Yeah, that's that. The only problem with that is the flight.
Yeah. It's brutal.
The 30 hours it takes to get there.
When we went to Fiji, I think how in the hell did we do that flight?
No, that's the worst.
It's crazy. It undoes all the relaxing parts of your trip. The flight back, you're like, what the hell, man? How bad was Hawaii again? 6 hours?
Hawaii's 5 hours behind us. I mean, it wasn't bad because remember, I stopped off in California to see my mom and then flew, but I returned on. I was pretty much on a plane all day because I left Hawaii at like 9 p.m. that night, flew to L.A. It was 7 when I got there, and I got here. It was noon local time, so it wasn't terrible, but it was half the day.
Yeah. What's the total flight time L.A. to Hawaii?
It's like 5 hours.
Yeah. God, that's
five
brutal.
Plus hours, yeah.
Why don't you just go to Mexico's, too? It's like an hour and a half.
Because I wouldn't have been able to deal with the hurricane if I was in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. No, there were no hurricanes there that week. So isn't there like a little secret place that you know of in Mexico?
Shh, don't tell everybody.
Yeah, man. I'm glad I went to Hawaii before this place really blows up. Have you guys heard of Honolulu?
No.
Everyone knows about Honolulu, dude.
What about Waikiki?
Everybody knows about that.
Damn, man.
What about Cancun?
It's Mexico's little secret.
Don't talk about Cancun. And Cabo's next on the list.
Yeah. It's the second best kept secret.
Yeah.
Cabo's.
Cabo?
Los Cabos. Okay, really low-key. Low-key place.
Look, guys.
Nobody knows about it.
If you're looking for a great beach, you may not have heard of it, but the North Shore? Secret location.
Isn't
I found.
Isn't pretty good?
Just driving around. Yeah.
You just stumble across this
North
place?
Shore, yeah.
Okay. Were you surprised the Astros got the sweep?
No. No. They just were so much better. It's amazing how much better. And those should be two pretty evenly matched teams. And even were you worried after Lindor's homer?
Nope.
I mean, not really.
Dude, it goes back to last week when we were talking about the series. This is a team that, in the biggest moment of this group's career, they blow a 3-1 lead in the World Series. then they come back the next year hungrier. Hey, we got to prove something. We got to show that, you know, we want this. We want to get back to the World Series. Hell, this is going to be, look, the Red Sox, they're pretty decent. The Yankees, too young. Astros, we'll see. We're the best team. Come on, we got this. 2-0 against the Yankees. You're like, dang, Cleveland's looking pretty good.
Yep.
And then they blow it again. And that's the team everybody was worried about? Man, that's like when your backs are up against the wall and you blow another lead.
Yeah, but we're used to just, you know, in the toughest times and the biggest games that everybody just plays their best. That doesn't happen. You know, what we're watching here is really, really unusual.
And that's why I was so confident. I'm like, man, it's a sweep.
We got a prime example in the city of how it doesn't usually go the Astros' way. With the Rockets.
Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
We see what happens when, now, clearly they had a major injury, when pressure gets to a team.
And wait, and then they went 0 for 27, so.
Fine, that's what I'm
or
saying.
Or 1 for 27 pressure, or whatever.
They lost the guy who probably was taking on a lot of it, and when he was no longer there, they go 0 for 27.
Right. And like within that game 6 and 7, game 6, they had the lead.
Well, they didn't know how to.
Like, in the first half, like Cleveland, you're like, oh my God.
Like game 5, game 6 and 7.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God. You know what? This is it. This is their moment. And it didn't work out.
Well, Cleveland the same way.
Yep.
You talk about all the leads they've had, and they couldn't find a way to close it out.
So somebody after the game said, some of them was an Indian fan or something, but I saw it on Twitter. Somebody said, the Golden State Astros. That's what we just lost to.
It's not a bad comparison.
You win another World Series.
Are there as many stars as the Golden State? I mean,
yes.
You picked up, is Verlander Durant?
Well, no, the Astros hadn't won yet.
Right.
So
Cole might be Durant.
But not even, Durant wasn't, but Garrett Cole wasn't the
he's
best
not
at
it. Kershaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Durant's like first or second best player in all, yeah, in
that's
all
true.
The game.
He's turned into that guy, but it's a fair comparison because it's a group that came up together.
Although
Altuve was already there and then Springer was already there. But these are guys that you were basing your franchise on and you made the right move. Heck, you got rid of the guy that you're like, man, Bo Porter should really, like, this next year's going to be, you know, maybe they'll get a chance. No, you know what? We're making a change. We're going to make a move. We're bringing in Steve Kerr. We're bringing in AJ Hinch. We'll see what he can do. And then you start seeing signs of it. Although Golden State immediately won it with Steve Kerr, but they were also, that core was also more deeper into their careers.
Multiple times.
Yeah. But it's not a bad comparison, man. And now you get to add players into this mix, and this is where it's going to get interesting. If they do win the World Series and you start adding different pieces, you go, okay, now the rich are just getting richer, and everyone's going to start hating you.
Look.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's a good man. That's
I hope
a good
everybody
thing.
Hates us.
So Joe Musgrove is Harrison Barnes?
Yeah.
Like, you win a title with him, but hey, you're not really good enough to continue with this. Beat it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We got to make room for Garrett Cole. Sorry.
Yeah.
And the other one, I know it's early. There's still a lot of playoffs left to be played, and we'll figure out what happens with the Red Sox and the Yankees tonight. If they take care of the Red Sox or Yankees in, let's say, 5 games or, heck, another sweep, it would start getting into that category for me, all-time great playoff teams, 2001 Lakers, where they just ran through the competition. It wasn't even close. It starts getting into that category. It starts getting into that category for 2 years ago where the Warriors just like, yeah, we're just going to sweep everybody. It's whatever. It's going to get into that kind of category for me, and that is scary fun.
Well, it'll be you talk about a two-year run. If you go through, now you don't get the trifecta of Red Sox, Yankees, and then Dodgers, but you could very well see the Dodgers again. And you would go through one of the premier teams in the AL again, whoever wins that. And you go through the Dodgers again. You're talking about one of the greatest runs, two-year runs in history.
Yeah. This isn't like a lucky fluke, like the schedule just broke for us.
You beat the Red Sox, Yankees, and Dodgers last year. Those are the three most storied organizations in baseball.
Right.
You got to do it again.
Yeah. And you could get two out of the three again.
Yeah.
I want Brewers.
I don't want Brewers.
I want Brewers.
I don't really care if you want to know the truth.
Why is
the Texans line off the board?
Uh-oh. What happened?
Somebody said they started 8.5, then it went to 1.
Is there an injury we don't know about?
Is there a Deshaun injury that we don't know about?
Uh-oh.
That sounds terrible to me that this game is off the board. Is there something wrong with Deshaun?
Is there something wrong with the Bills?
Well, no. It went from Texans minus 8.5 to Texans minus 1. And now...
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. That wouldn't make sense. Yeah, what?
What? Okay. If this dude is hurt, I swear to God.
I'm already done, but man.
I'm not... Are you kidding? No. You can't tell me... This everybody worried about 55 hits. Guess what? If it's true, God.
Wait, man, come on! I'm searching Twitter for
there's why anything. Why is this game off the board? That okay? That's a problem.
You guys somebody, have gone to your site and it's not there, and it's off the board there.
Yo, somebody already tweeted this dude Jared on Twitter. I don't know him. He just says. He said the same thing. The betting line had the Texans. And he copied Deshaun. He tagged him. He goes, hey, Deshaun, the betting line had the Texans favorite by 10 points. Now the line dropped to 1 point, which tells me you're not playing. Is this true? What if Deshaun answers yes?
What
I don't think he's going to
answer. Jared broke it on Twitter. Then Jared breaks it. Okay, that's great. 1044 ESPN 97.5. I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to John and Raheel with Dell on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John and Raheel with Dell.
That's not right, Holly. Stop saying stuff. Stop it, Holly. That's not what we do around here. That's
so we're all in panic mode. If you just joined us,
yeah,
this sucks.
The Texans game's off the board.
And the immediate thought is, what happened to Deshaun? Because how could a game that was at 10 now be off the board? If not for something to do with the quarterback.
Well, there were rumors. It dropped to 1, right? You said?
That's what somebody on Twitter said.
Okay. So it dropped to 1 eventually.
I don't know. Maybe it hadn't. I don't know.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, it would make sense that Deshaun's hurt. I mean, he was only hobbling after every single play.
Yeah, I mean, and they had to check his ribs and then that's where the ribs thing came from. They were checking him out every time he went to the sideline. So let's run him again. Hey, here's one. Let's go. Let's do a shotgun. Snap it to Deshaun. Run left, Deshaun. Okay, here's another one. Okay, snap it to Deshaun. Run right, Deshaun. Okay. I don't think you guys understand how hard it is. If you're not in the business, you just don't get
it. When Andrew Luck lacerated his kidney, did he finish the game? Do we remember that instance? Did that news not come out till after? Because the thought is, well, if Deshaun finished the game, how bad could it be? I don't know what the deal is, but I'm just trying to remember. Did he finish that game? And then people were like, lacerated kidney.
He might have. Well, let's not put lacerated kidneys. Why are we mentioning lacerated kidneys?
What I'm saying is they're checking his ribs, and the kidney is in that area. All I'm saying is he finished the game.
Hey.
So we thought.
Hey, Shrek. Andre Johnson was just carted off the field.
I didn't say Deshaun had a lacerated kidney. I said, I'm trying to compare him to another quarterback who takes a lot of hits to try to figure out what it might be, considering where they were checking.
The injury was suffered early in the fourth quarter. This is for Andrew Luck against the Broncos. Luck amazingly stayed in the game and helped the team finish off a win.
Did Deshaun help his team finish off a win?
Yep. And Andrew Luck then went on to miss 2 to 6 weeks. I'm not sure what it was. It just said out 2 to 6 weeks.
It was a lacerated kidney.
And he finished the game.
He finished the game. So I don't know. So I'm just saying, just because he finished the game doesn't mean it wasn't something really serious, because we've seen quarterbacks... finish a game and we find out later. I don't know. It's a curious thing for that line to completely come off the board. So I guess we'll find out at some point. Maybe later today, maybe not. Hey, coach, the line came off the board. Is there something wrong with your quarterback?
Well, they don't even speak today.
Yeah, they don't. It's their off day.
No, today's Tuesday. We won't know. Won't know anything. Something. Somebody leaked something somewhere. Otherwise, this game wouldn't be off the board.
I wonder when it hits that.
Well, either that or it's just a panic. Some kind of hey, Deshaun.
Yeah, we don't know what it is.
Right. We have no idea.
It could be nothing.
It could be. Chances are, it's not nothing though.
I know. I'm just trying to be positive.
Vegas doesn't deal with nothings.
That's true.
Right.
They don't. This is something for sure.
But it doesn't have to be the quarterback.
You're right. It does. Well,
it seems like it would be because what would take a game off the board, but it doesn't have to be the quarterback.
I'll ask you something off air. Yeah. Well, there's something else it could be. We'll ask off air.
Let me ask you this question. If you're in India and you're on a bus and the bus driver lets a monkey drive, do you feel good about that? As a passenger on a bus.
Can the monkey reach the pedals?
Monkey can't. He's working the pedals, but the monkey's steering.
Oh, we all do that with our kids, right?
Yeah. But India suspended the bus driver.
So he let the monkey take the wheels?
Yep.
He took his hands completely off the steering wheel?
Yeah, you can see it here.
Yo, that's awesome. My dad used to let me do that.
Yeah.
Would you let your kids do that?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
My dad never let me do that.
While they're drinking beer.
No,
I did it.
You take it to an extreme all the time.
Yeah, my dad used to let me do that so much. At one time, I went in the car while everyone was inside, and I started driving it, and I almost wrecked the car.
Hmm.
Like, I put it in reverse, and my uncle luckily saw it, and I don't know how he did it. He sprinted out and stopped the car. And if I would have wrecked it, like, look, this was when we first moved to America, so we didn't have much money anyways. It would have been bad.
You had the keys with you?
I don't know how. Yeah, I guess I had the keys.
You started the car?
Yeah.
How old
I don't even think
you?
I started it.
You
I
just
put it
in reverse.
I put it in reverse.
And it just started.
Yep. Yellow Toyota.
Wait a minute. You used the brakes and put it in reverse?
Yeah.
And
I put it in reverse.
And you crashed it.
No, I was about to. My uncle somehow, I don't know how he saw it. He just probably was like, that bleep head is up to something. Let me take a look. Oh my God, the car's moving. Sprints out, luckily stops it right before it hit the car behind us.
Oh God!
And I'm telling you, it would have ruined us, like financially, because this was probably a year and a half in when we moved to America, so we already don't have much money.
How
and
fast
a car
that,
accident?
How fast would that car
with
have been going?
With a 3-year-old driving?
I would have been 7.
Oh,
at
they
the
would
time.
Have taken him out of the car. Someone else would have been driving that car.
Oh,
they're not
dude.
Saying a 7-year-old wrecked their car.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my dad would have beat. Oh my God! It would have been bad.
Why? You taught me how to drive, and now you don't
want
me to?
That's the thing. You started this.
Now
you know
I feel
how cool
like I'm
it is to drive?
Wheel.
Look, I taught Frankie how to drink, and then now what?
Yeah, now you can't ever say like...
Did you teach her how to use a Juul?
No.
Which, so, by the way, do
so
you see...
Can come
she
down
does
on
that on her own.
You can come down on her for that.
FDA is cracking down. They had like sting operations at the Juul office. It's getting bad. They're like, dude, this is ruining kids. You guys are making
Thank
it
you,
so
FBI.
Cool. Tobacco's so cool.
Something.
Yeah, like tobacco's so cool, guys.
Did you say the FBI or the FDA?
Same thing.
Same thing.
No, they're not.
They're the same thing.
Maybe the FDA was investigating Kavanaugh.
Well, maybe. You don't know that they weren't.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't know.
I have no idea.
All right. Texans line is off the board. Whatever. Have a great day.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.